Hey everyone, welcome back to my Blacadian podcast. I wanted to talk a little bit about empathy and the realization that I came to a long time ago, but it's just been really, I've been really, really reminded of in the last little while. Is that empathy is not extended to people that look like me. And it's very dehumanizing and demoralizing. And I just wanted to talk about it. So, as you know, my BFF, Nadine and I, one of the wonderful things about our relationship is that we can, you know, we always find time to reach out and support each other. And, you know, whenever we're having difficulty, and I know when I'm having a difficult day dealing with some nonsense, if someone's dealing with some racist nonsense, I know that I have someone, you know, that I can vent with and share with. And it's always just really, really lovely. And so she was, and vice versa, I imagine. So, because, you know, I say this all the time, we do talk about things other than racism. But just as, you know, one of my oldest and dearest friends, she reached out to me. She like sent me a text and she was just like, I need to like, do you have time for a call? And I'm like, yeah, for sure. So she was just like, I was just in this very frustrating situation where she was talking to somebody and explaining to them about this idea that, because of the dehumanization of Black people through, you know, the slave trade, that the idea that we are, you know, full human beings with emotions and feelings is still in people's hearts and minds today. And so when people see, you know, a Black person suffering, they don't see it as, it doesn't, you know, have the same impact on them as if they saw a white person suffering, because that is one of the side effects of the dehumanization process of slavery, is that, you know, we're not seen as a full human being. And, you know, it was just met with resistance to this idea. And, you know, we're in our prioritizing peace era. And so she was like, you know what, I just had to leave it, because I was like, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole with someone who's just not willing to, you know, even entertain this idea, this truth on the subject. And I was like, yeah, no, like, what the hell? Like, how can you not talk about it? And so I was thinking, like, that, you know, when I had this conversation and I shared with her, and I'll share with you all, that when, you know, I had this conversation with someone and we were talking about this, and I was very impressed, because, you know, there's so much going on in the world right now. And there's the war in, you know, with Israel and Gaza, and there's in Ukraine and Sudan and Congo. And so I was telling my friend, it's so interesting about, what's dominating our news cycle. And I'm, noticing that the things that are dominating our news cycle are things where white lives are being, lost. And to my great surprise, this person who was white completely understood what I was saying. And I was, I didn't have to, defend that position. And I thought, what's interesting is that people don't realize, and I think, there was some reporters talking about, when the war in Ukraine had started, about how they're so, this is so shocking, this is so shocking. They couldn't even, I don't know if they were trying to catch themselves, or perhaps they weren't even aware of why it was such a disturbing image to see. And it was because they are, they were used to seeing that kind of devastation and loss of life, only existing around, black and brown bodies. And then it took on new significance and new meaning when those bodies were white. And it's a horrible thing for people to have to admit to themselves. And it was a horrible realization for me to come to, many years ago, that my life, my people's life, isn't going to be seen as worthy of existence simply because of the color of my skin. And people don't also want to feel that they feel that way. People will think that they're a good person, so they'll wonder why it's hitting different this time. And they'll skirt around every single reason except for white supremacy. Their belief in white supremacy. And of course, our conversation did touch upon, the Duchess of Sussex. And, I'm not a big royal watcher person, and neither is my friend Nadine. But again, it's just been in the, with the royals have been in the news a lot, so of course it came up. And again, like we were talking about how Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, got like dragged into this whole conversation, and having this whole thing. And I want to dedicate an entire episode of the podcast just on that conversation, so I won't go into a deep dive there. But we talked about how people don't see this need for privacy and respect being applicable to the Duchess of Sussex because she's black and she's not seen as a human being. And people will talk all about, how it was just they skirting around the issue of racism, just completely ridiculous. But we talked about it's the same sort of thing where people just don't understand the parallels there between the situations, and they'll never see it. They'll never see it. They're so blinded by racism and their belief in white supremacy that they don't understand what the problem is. And I said the best thing that you could have done was just sort of just drop it, because it's one of those things that will just frustrate you when someone hasn't if someone will look at every other hypothesis that there could possibly be except for racism, then they're racist. Like, that's just it. If you want to call yourself a free thinker, open-minded, all these wonderful things, these wonderful attributes that you want to apply to yourself, and you can't call yourself a free and open thinker if you can't even conceive of the possibility that you can have a bias, that you can be susceptible to the belief of white supremacy, because it is everywhere. It is being shoved down your throats, and the only way that you can, fight back against it is to acknowledge its existence and its impact on you. And, I am constantly challenging myself. Like, it's not to say that, people always will be like, oh, you can't be racist. Absolutely, people of all different cultures and ethnicities can be racist, and we all need to challenge ourselves. And it's not even like, I don't want to even get into racism, prejudice without power isn't racism. So, anyways, it's a whole thing. But, it's one of those things where, I'll say as a shorthand, racist. And but you do have to challenge those beliefs. You have to challenge those prejudices. And I challenge myself all the time. And it's really important. And that's the only way that you can fight against this, entity. And when people are just not willing to, they immediately say, nope, it's not racism. I'm just like, okay, you know what? I'm on operating on a whole other level, and you need to bring yourself up to this level before we can even have that conversation. Like, I won't even engage. And so I just, we ended in like a good place. I love when we always can laugh together. I think that's like, is that like that's a black person superpower, like, we can always laugh, and we have to in this world that doesn't see us as human. I love that. That's some black joy is resistance. I say it all the time. And so I said, you know what, just like, she's not on your level. She's not on your level. And I was like, that's how it is. So yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where that frustration, I'm not even going down that path. And I think it's one of those things that has to come from within. And once you're willing to be open to hear about my lived experience as a black person, and the things that I've observed, and you're observed, and you're willing to listen to other people's experiences other than your own, then we could have this conversation. But you can't rule it out. Like, no good scientist, no good innovator, no one who's willing to learn anything immediately shuts down a possibility. They just don't. A long time ago. Yeah. Not that long, but a long time ago, when I was in school, one of my teachers, our professors, this is university, told us to and taught us to look for the racism in the news. And it was such a profound moment for me, such a valuable, powerful exercise, something that I do to this day. It impacts, where I consume my news, where I go to, because it's a valuable lesson that I know a lot of people did not get. And, just because you read something, you have to read it with the filter of looking for bias and racism. And that was the point of the class. But I think we were all, if that lesson sunk in as deep as it did for me, for my peers in the room and, you know, everyone that she taught for, you know, continues to teach these years, if that touches them, then it's such a powerful tool, because I'm sure that lesson is more apparent today, more than ever. I think those critical thinking skills are absolutely essential, and I think more people are developing them. But I think when I hear about stories of, you know, who deserves my sympathy and who deserves my compassion and who deserves my, you know, money and attention, who is suffering, it is always clouded by white supremacy. And so I encourage everyone to sort of wonder about what you're not hearing about as much, or if at all, about what's going on in the world around you. And maybe question, you know, why something is deemed more important than other news stories. I know the answer. If you want me to tell the answer, it's racism and white supremacy. But challenge yourselves to, you know, find that answer yourself. It's a valuable skill. It's a valuable skill, and it opens your eyes to the suffering and plight of a great deal of your fellow human beings. As always, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and I will talk to you next time.